Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Good evening and welcome to BB on Blast with me, Lindsay, aka Light at VM. This is probably the only UK show presented by a lone female about BB OTT. I might be going out on a limb saying that, but I'm pretty sure no one else in the whole of England is watching this shit. I'm not even sure I'm watching it, but I have been watching bits and bobs. Right, here's where I'm at. You know I'm always behind. So I've caught some of the little recap things, some of the live feed clips. I haven't watched any live feed proper, but I watched all the housemates videos. I watched them going in, and Jesus Christ, so professional. Yes, mind you, Lucy's cat is still with us to meow. So what the state I'm at is I'm up to where the veto is. I don't know who won the veto, but after that I'm gonna just start watching the live feed just like you guys do, and I'm gonna be like up to date. But for now I'm kind of behind, and I've not listened to one single podcast about this. In fact, the podcast I'm listening to at the moment is Rob's backyard interview with Paul and Nicole and that. So that's where I'm at with podcasts, because I'm so far behind. But I did enjoy Rob. How rude he was being to people in his interviews. The best bit was when he said to Corey, "Do you think Nicole dragged you along as a goat? And did you worry she was going to throw you in the fire or something?" It was just, it was so sneaky. It was brilliant. I just want to say thanks to Renthrace on Twitter. You should follow him, because he gave me kind of the little scraps that I have watched. And I also found a few via Gimpy on Pirate Bay. So, good old Gimpy. He always comes through. So, I've got mixed feelings about all this, but at first I was quite down on it, and then as time went on, I got more into it. So, okay, here's what I've worked out so far. Here are the rules, such as they are. Right, America chooses the winner. That's a mistake. I don't know if there's an America's favourite player. I'm presuming not, because it's a cheap budget. The jackpot? That's not the right word, is it? The prize fund is $250,000, which seems fair. It's not even on TV. The public, American general public, have an impact on nominations and evictions. And we saw a bit of that as time went on. There is no jury because America chooses the winner. So with no jury, that leads me to think, is there less backstabbing? Are people going to be nicey-nicey because America's watching? It opens the door to that. Does Jason have an advantage, for example, because people know who he is? Is he like the Alyssa of this season? And another thing I heard on the grapevine, although I've not looked on Twitter yet either, although I will in the next couple of days, was that the diary rooms, they show the diary rooms on the live feed. That sounds good. I'd really like to see that. So I want to catch up with that soon and see how that works. So that's my basic grasp of the rules so far. I think, to be honest, they're just making it up as they go along. So I think the rules will unfold along the way. And until then, we'll just wait and see. So let's have a look at the 13 house guests. So there was just a show where they showed basically the house guests intro videos. there was no sign of them actually getting a key or anything like that. I suppose they just like get an Uber or something. I don't really know how it works now. So first person we were introduced to was Whitney. She's a cowgirl. She had a very strong accent. I haven't mastered her accent yet, but she is definitely one who it's going to be quite easy to do an impression of. She said she's the female Donnie, and you remember how good my Donnie impression used to be, right? She has a boyfriend, and I think that was about it. There seems to be quite a lot of people from the Deep South in this series, and that's fine by me. Next thing was Shane. He is a roofer. Now, we recently had a roofer on Celebrity Big Brother. Roofless. Shane has got long hair. He said something about an albino squirrel. Now, we know he likes squirrels. Jason Roy, squirrels. And Shane likes hiking and the outdoors, and he was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. So, you know, he's used to doors being shut in his face. Neely is next. She's black. She likes lots of wigs. She said she'll date brown and yellow as long as they have money. Okay, prostitute. Her dad has Alzheimer's. And now in BB UK this year, we had a contestant who did a lot of work with the Alzheimer's community. And she was also a porn star. Neely is 33, but she says she doesn't look it and she'll use that to her advantage. She kind of does look it. Fourth person is someone called Cornbread. Is that a usual name in America, or maybe it's a nickname? He's from the South. He's old. I don't know how old he was, between 40 and 50, I'd say. He loves shooting guns, and he won the Redneck Olympics 3 times in a row. I can only speculate what goes on at the Redneck Olympics. He said he won the Belly Flop Championships, but I heard it was the award for sleeping with your own sister. I was going to try and think of something funny that he belly flopped into, but I think it was offensive. I was going along with sort of something to do with liberals, or I don't know. I couldn't quite make a joke out of it, so I shouldn't really have said anything. Shelby is a lawyer. She's young. She said, "I'm very pretty." That's a good thing to say about yourself. She graduated in 2 years instead of 3, and she's looking for a showmance. Now, I didn't like her in her intro video, but I like her in the house from what little I've seen. So she's one of my favourites so far. Justin is a restaurant owner. He's from New Orleans. He's mixed race. He's curly haired. He's got a goatee beard. He's got a curly moustache. I was getting kind of Lenny Kravitz sort of wardrobe vibes from him. But if you've ever seen True Romance, you know Drexel, Alabama's pimp, basically is him. it ain't White Boy Day, is it? So I like him. He seems like a kind of a quirky sort of a character. So Justin is on my team, Linz. Chrissy. Ah, this is another one. These are quite good characters, actually. She's a rock star slash waitress. That's always good. She's become famous because she was a waitress in a restaurant and someone filmed her being an absolute cunt. Basically, they said, "Can we have spaghetti?" And she said, "We don't serve spaghetti. Why don't you fuck off to an Italian restaurant?" I don't know about you, but I thought the customer was always right. Apparently not. she said she'd lost a lot of weight, so she did weightlifting to fill in the gaps, I guess, so she didn't have baggy skin. She's either going to be really good or she's going to be like Gen City and like promise a lot and then deliver fuck all. But I like her so far. I kind of like, she seems quite rude and I find that quite appealing. Next up is Monty, who I'm calling Faleb because he's very much like Caleb of i.e. Beast Mode Cowboy from seasons past and Survivor. And he said, "I have a lot of layers, but I didn't really think it looked like he was wearing that many clothes." insert canned laughter here. He says he sells medical equipment. That sounds boring. And he likes a girl with good assets. Now, he rather stole my thunder because he made his own full Monty joke, which was really annoying because obviously that's where all the podcasts in the world were going to go to with their titles. So, for you, Monty. Also, it's not spelled M-O-N-T-Y like the full Monty. It's spelled M-O-N-T-E like, well, Bronte, I suppose. Next thing was Danielle. She's pretty. She's mixed race. She's a mother. She's going on about missing her son already. Ugh, yawn. And she plays flag football. I don't know what that is, but women who play football, no. And she's looking for her ride or die, or failing that, just the ride, I think, which is fair enough. You know, aren't we all? Scott is, well, actually, no, we're not, because Scott is a virgin. He's a debt collector. That's not a good combination of things. Like, yeah, it's like, oh, I'm a virgin. It's like, well, I suppose I can overlook it. I'm a debt collector. Fuck off. He's 24 years old. He's like Ian Terry and Steve Moses without the looks. And he cold calls people for 40 hours a week, demanding money back, I guess. But if you took a look at him, you wouldn't be that scared. You know, it's not like... who was it? Old Squeaky Chris on BBUK was a debt collector. He actually looked like he might, you know, rough you up a bit. This little idiot looks like a little gimp. And also, I've seen him wearing lipstick. And, yeah, he's just, yeah. And also, when he went in the house, he was wearing a blue and yellow hoodie combination. And I'm putting that straight on the eek pile. He's the first person on the eek pile, so hope he's happy. Final two house guests, apart from the vet, was sisters Alex and Morgan. Now, Alex is a computer animator. She's pretty. She likes Pokemon. She's a gamer. She's strategic and athletic. I liked her. She was cute and she was really young. I don't know how old they are. And then her sister Morgan is a publicist. She said, the bigger the hair, the closer to Jesus. And she said she is a Christian / conservative, i.e. cunt. And she said that her and her sister would go after each other if they're in the house together. I thought, that's good. Like, you never ever see, like, you know, you don't see Jedward turn on each other or Sam and Amanda, mainly because they're normally acting as one housemate. But I thought that would be really good to actually see siblings try and take each other out. But as it turns out, they've decided to work together, which is quite boring. But they do actually seem quite different. Like, this Alex, she didn't mention being a Christian conservative, so they look similar. Like, if you're in there, you would know, and Jason obviously knew, but they're not twins or anything. And then the final person in the house, Jason Roy, the J-Roy. Now, I don't know about you, but Jason's one of my favourite BBUS housemates ever. Just hearing his laugh makes me so happy. Just seeing him sitting out in the garden smoking cigarettes. I just love the way he talks. I love everything about him. Also, he follows me on Twitter, favourites my tweets, retweets me, you know. He's obviously a man of taste. But it was just so nice to see him back in the house. But we'll come on to more about him anyway. Yeah, so that's basically all the housemates thus far. But what happened to Josiah? Because I've not been on Twitter, I don't know what went on. What was the breakdown? Did we get the poll results? Was it like 80-20? Or obviously, it's better to have Jason in there, but Jose would have been good as well. Jose, isn't it? They should like bring him in as well. But yeah, I would like to know if anyone knows what the breakdown of the votes were. But they probably don't tell you. It's like on BBUK, they don't tell you fuck all. So okay, so then we came to the housemates coming into the house. First off, I think, as I said, there's no Chembot to send you in. I don't know if they went in with their bags. I didn't actually see anyone's bags. They didn't go in groups, so they just went in individually. I don't know what the reason was for sending old Scott in first, the Geekazoid. Sorry, I'm getting confused with Freakazoids. But he was in the house on his own. It was very Big Brother UK style, where he was like wandering around. He's going, oh my God, you did all this in a few days. It's like after BBUK when it's CBB and it's like the celebrities go in and comment on like the changes to the house. But he was like, oh, I love the gold and silver in here. I was like, oh, you would like Celebrity Big Brother, because all they do is like give it a lick of gold paint after all the civilians have cleaned out all their condoms and snot rags. The couch definitely looks nicer than the crushed green velvet disgusting one. But this house does have a little bit of an IKEA feel. I mean, it's understandable because they haven't got as much budget. That was evident from the toss. but yeah, it's was still nice. I'm glad they've got rid of those aeroplanes on the wallpaper for starters. So Scott said something about the Bulbasaur, isn't that something from Pokemon? So he'll probably like that, Alex. The thing that I watched was really badly cut together, but I suppose I should be just grateful that I even got to see it. Like, either the housemates came in or they just appeared. Someone said, oh, we need name tags. They would like BB UK because we have name tags, and the viewers even have names splash up on the screen, even about 2 months after you've been watching, just in case you're really mentally ill. And then Chrissy, she's the one, the rock star waitress. She said she has tattoos that she's not allowed to show in the house. Swastika. And she said something was adorbs. I've not heard anyone say that for a while. Whitney come in. She said, I'm from Kentucky. Are you from Kentucky? As if everyone in the house was going to be from Kentucky. Justin, a.k.a. Drexel / Lenny Kravitz, said, no, he didn't say anything. He just came in, but he gave everyone a very warm hug. I just thought, oh, if I was in there and someone came in and hugged me like that, I'd think, oh, you seem like a nice, genuine person. And then Jason Roy came in and went, hey, hookers. Oh, so good. I love Jason Roy. What does he billed as in the diary room? Grocery stocker. I thought he left that job. Hold on. I'm not going to pause. I'm just going to have a drink for old time's sake. Jose, I don't know what happened to him. Oh, yeah. And then Jason immediately became suspicious of the sisters. And I thought, did you not learn from last time? He goes on getting Liz and Julia flashbacks. So I was like, Liz and Julia spotting the difference between those two with Devon was that you're undoing last time. So just keep your fucking mouth shut. Keep your head down. You've already got a massive target on your back because you're a veteran. And also, this must be like one of the first time. This might be the first time ever, actually, that it's just been one single veteran. Like, normally there's like four, or it's all stars. Like, I don't think there's ever been just one veteran in there. So he is mega vulnerable. In fact, the only thing that can really save him is all the fixes that they're going to do from the public and all that sort of stuff. Because he must be a shoo-in to be evicted first. Now, there were some bros in the bedroom. I couldn't tell who it was because it was too dark. But they said they wanted to make an alliance and call it the Four Horsemen. I'm tired of these bitches not knowing about old alliances on BBUS. I'm in the UK and I know about the Four Horsemen, friendship, all this shit. Why do these people not know? There should be like a trademark on the alliances and you can't call it after an old alliance. Enough's enough. And they said they wanted to target Danielle and Justin as a potential showmance, although that showmance seems to have gone out the window already. So that was a bit of alliance talk on the first night, which is always nice. Bomb squad, rip. So then they put this potion in the house, and it says, only one may drink the potion, and with a tagline underneath, expect the unexpected. Now, would you drink that potion if you were in there? I think I'd be too scared to. But Shane, who I can't remember anything about him, but he's got long hair, drank the potion, and he became infected with the BB bug. And I can't really explain this because I don't really understand it. It seemed like it was a game of tag. Like, he had to pass on the virus. It's a bit dubious, but anyway. He had to pass on the virus to someone else, and then the last person who didn't catch the virus was then HOH. Remember in, like, normal Big Brother when they spend, like, you know, a few grand on, like, the wall or things that go on for a few hours. This is literally, you had a necklace with a bug on, and you had to put the necklace on someone else, and then you have to wear a t-shirt that's got a bug on. How much for the necklace and the t-shirts? 12 t-shirts and 12 bug necklaces. Oh, actually, you could just use, it's just one bug necklace and 12 t-shirts. About $20? Really, really cheapo, like, makes BB UK look sophisticated. But the funny thing was, I forget what her name is, Chrissy, the rockstar waitress, said they give you crabs, and then everyone just started calling it crabs, which I thought was quite funny. Jason said, it's like a bad game of hot potato, and it was. And everyone wanted to target Jason, which is really annoying. Shane and Monty, who's like, they're like the thick bros, basically. They teamed up together. Another alliance was formed, the Jamboree Alliance. Now, Jason was in that. I quite like everyone in that. It was all the kind of misfits, I suppose. It's Jason, Chrissy, Scott, and Shelby. Jason was wearing a pink and yellow t-shirt, which I enjoyed. Oh, and it turned out the last person who didn't get the bug necklace was Phaleb, i.e. Monty. So he was HOH. And then some like weird voiceover was coming over. It sounded like the thing that said America's Care Package. And it was like, you are first HOH. It sounded so cheap. So he was HOH. We don't get no, do you want to see my HOH room or anything? It's really weird how they do the recap show. Like, you know, when it goes previously on Big Brother. Basically, the whole recap show is that. So there's no actual show. It's all just a recap. And it's as if you should have seen the show, but you haven't seen the show. And the whole thing is just, then so-and-so took control. Then this happened, and you just see it like that, and you don't actually see any of the things that actually happen, because the reasoning behind it is you watch that on the live feed. But who the fuck has got time to watch live feed all day long? I don't. I mean, I watch it here and there, but I just don't have time. But I don't know, it's weird. Like, you feel a bit like you're being a bit shortchanged, because you want to see, because, like, some of the characters are actually quite good. Like, some of the personalities seem pretty good, and it's like, oh, I really wanted more of this. It's like, I don't know, it's like you're watching it like on fast forward in a way, and you feel like, I want more of this, but I can't have it. I don't like that feeling. Like, I like having the extra bit of Big Brother, but I don't like feeling like I'm not seeing everything that I want to see. And even the bits of Julian, like, it's a bit weird. Like, I don't know, she seems a bit like lost. I don't know, I can't explain it. That might be my own shit on there, but I don't know. I'll come to more of the format sort of stuff at the end anyway. So the little bits that I've seen is basically there's the recap episodes, which are like, I don't know if they're like 5 or 10 minutes long. I think they're more like 5. And then there's the live feed updates, which is really weird. They just show you like a scene, but not even a scene. It's like a glimpse of the live feed. They just show someone telling like half a story. So I don't know, it's really weird. It does make me want to kind of watch the real live feed, though, which I will do. I've been so behind on everything, so I just need to catch up. Just need to catch up on life. So, a bit that I saw on the live feed was Shelby said she doesn't like emo guys who sing to her. Well, Cornbread, is that his name? Can't be it. someone else was reading off a chalkboard. It was Paul's friendship tips. Your boy had left friendship tips, and Captain Camo had written tips about something. I don't know, obviously not picking up women. Scott said his stripper name would be White Diamonds. Creepy. And Monty said he thinks it's a good idea to be the first HOH. Have you ever watched Big Brother before? So the twist on nominations. Now, I don't really understand this, and I think it's just me being dense. Instead of nominating 2 people, you give everyone else except 2 people safety. Now, can someone explain to me what the difference is between that and nominating 2 people? Because it seems like the same thing to me. And they were going, everyone's going, oh, this is a real big twist on the game. It's like, hold on. If you're making everyone else safe except for 2 people, isn't that the same as just nominating 2 people? Like, I honestly can't see the difference. The only thing that seemed to be different was he had to make people safe in like 2 batches. So first he made 5 people safe, and then he made another 4 or 5 people safe, whatever it is. But still, like, who gives a fuck? And then everyone's just basically wants to target Jason because he's a vet, even though in his own series he went out about 3rd or 4th. An all-girl alliance was made. Now, girl power, you know they're gonna go far. Now, because of this safety thing, everyone has to wear this necklace. This had major shades of Big Brother Canada. They have to wear this necklace around their neck. And it's like, kind of like a glow stick with like, I don't know, like a pacemaker attached to the front of it. And then when I nearly said Moe. Monty gives you safety in his room. He, like, presses a button. And then the necklace, like, lights up. And you're like, oh, I'm safe. Number one, it looks cheap as fuck. Number two, it should be, instead of that happening, like, the two who are nominated should, like, get electrocuted or something. Come on, those electric shock suits are just sitting there in BBUK's aircraft hangar or whatever. Get them out and do the business. Yeah, that safety necklace thing was weird. I still don't understand that. So, Monty put Danielle and Jason on the block. I'm not sure why he put Danielle up. She was, like, seemed to be having a showmance with Justin, aka Lenny Kravitz. Then she seemed to turn her attention to, what's his name? Shane, who's also got long hair. But Shane and Monty seemed to be working together, so I wasn't too sure why Monty put Danielle up. It didn't seem to make sense, because there was lots of other people he could have chosen from. I suppose this is what happens. Like, I don't understand what's going on at the best of times when I watch three shows a week. When I'm just watching 5 minutes here or there, how the fuck am I meant to know what's going on? I'll find out in about 3 weeks when I listen to a podcast about it. meanwhile, those listening to my my podcast to work out what the fuck's happening. Good luck. The only real thing I've got to offer you is an English accent. So then Julie popped up again on the screen. She is quite vocal on this show. She's popping up quite a lot. No doubt pre-recorded, but well. She said, those who are safe are not really safe. So what the fuck is the point in the safety necklace if these people aren't really safe? It should be like the almost safe necklace, or the not quite safe, or the shaky necklace. I don't fucking know. She said that there's going to be a third nominee, and America will nominate that third nominee. So safety is just a myth. There's no such thing as safe. So then we got to find out who America nominated. America! So I quite like the way they did this. Like, they had the pictures all come up on the screen and they just kept stopping on certain people, and then they were shitting themselves that it was them, but it wasn't really them. And they've done that previously, like, crappily, like on Canada and stuff, but this one, I don't know, it's kind of worked. It turned out the third nominee was Cornbread. I don't know why he got nominated, probably because he's old and annoying, but I hope he goes out over Jason. So then they picked players for the veto competition, although we never actually got to see the veto competition, which was annoying. I wonder if it's as cheap ass as the HOH competition, which they literally spent $20 on. So then there was just another bit of live feed. There was some gold spray painted fruit on the table, not sure why. Justin tried to go out the emergency exit, just like John James in BBUK, but he said he didn't mean to. He just saw a handle poking out and he couldn't help but pull it. And then they were like, didn't you read the manual? And then someone else was like, come on, there's nothing to do but read the rule book. I was like, oh my God, I've never ever seen the rule book on BBUS. I was so excited. I would love to read it. The only thing I've ever seen anyone read on BBUS is Dan Giesling pretending to read his Bible when everyone was having an argument. So I was excited by the prospect of the BBUS rule book. So if anyone has any info on what's in that, I would love to know. Did Justin get in trouble for trying to go out the exit? They should hoof him out for that, really. So that's pretty much all I've seen. I don't know who won the veto. Apparently on Wednesday night they have the eviction? I think it's the eviction on Wednesday night. And I think they have like an hour long show on Wednesday nights. So once I've seen that, I can do a better podcast, really. But I just wanted to sort of get stuck in, like, get a little bit of a flavour of it, see what was going on. I think the main thing that they're trying to do is, one, I guess get money, because they get money from people subscribing to the live feeds. Two, I think they're kind of using it to kind of experiment with ideas. So does it work if America has their say, you know, and the interference? Because a lot of people are purists and they don't like the outside contact and blah, blah, blah. If you're in the UK, you know that we're used to that by now, although it is shit. I do think they should keep BBUS proper a pure game. But I think it's quite good that they're experimenting with it in this format, not in the main show. So they can kind of try things that work and don't work. And it can be fun and silly, but I don't think it's really that over the top. Nothing really that outrageous seems to be happening. I feel like it's a bit like Big Brother for short attention spans. But I feel sorry for people who like watching Big Brother on TV and don't have access to the show, because you do feel like you're missing out a bit. I feel like I'm missing out on Big Brother at the best of times because I'm over here in the UK and it's hard to keep up. So I don't know. I do appreciate that they've gone online. I suppose it is quite groundbreaking. I suppose it's better to have too much Big Brother than no Big Brother. And they will say, oh, they'll never get rid of Big Brother because it's like a money-making machine and blah, blah, blah. But in the UK, they're always like, oh, Live Feed's too expensive and all this and that. But Live Feed is like the money-maker in the US. So I don't know. It makes no sense. But anyway, the previously on Big Brother, that guy needs a pay rise because he's doing like a whole like 10-minute section now. I do really like that guy and the way he talks there. So I think that's good. And then finally, BOTTT. That's confusing. It's too much like BBBOTS, which is bots, which is the BBUK sideshow. There's too much bot-related stuff with Big Brother. And I can only assume that John DeMol is obsessed with arse play, I guess. Thanks so much for listening. I will catch up. I might even be watching this in real time with you guys eventually. Probably not, let's be honest. I always drag behind, just like Brian Marco. But yeah, follow me on Twitter, LightUpVM. Read my book, First Aid Kit Girl. And yeah, tweet me. Let me know what you think of this. Let me know what you think of BBBBBTTT, whatever the fuck it's called. And if there's any votes that you have to keep Jason in, then keep him in. Oh, I'm really worried he's gonna fucking go tomorrow now. It's typical, isn't it? But yeah, thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you soon. Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.